This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Greetings and salutations. This is Scott Johnson. You may know me from such things as intermittently updated podcast called Diary of a Cartoonist. Excuse me. I am taking a moment here to produce one of these, and I'm doing it outside in the rear part portion. What do you call it? The backyard. Yeah, it has a name. And our backyard is when we moved here, it was awful. We had a big tree in the way and a bunch of poorly growing grass and root problems from the tree and lots of bugs, and it was just kind of bad back here. And we decided to make it better than it was. So we pulled the tree out, not ourselves, had it done. I wouldn't know how to pull a tree out if you paid me. Put in a tiled brick, grouted style porch thing. I don't know what you call this. I guess it's not a porch. It's a patio. A patio? Well, whatever. A surface on which we can sit, stand, and perform tasks. And that laid right over the top of that tree, and then most of the yard, part of the yard that was the problem and all that. And now it's my favorite place to come just chill and think. I come out here and read comic books at night on my tablet. Sometimes I draw out here. Sometimes a little music, especially at night. It's great at night. And it also turns out to be a decent place to podcast if I'm in the right mind to do it. And right now I'm in the right mind to do it, as you can see and hear. It's 11:57 on a Sunday. And Kim is in the house making tacos for Nicholas, who just stopped by. So he's in there getting his fill. Which is hilarious because we all had eggs earlier. Just a very basic sort of breakfasty thing. And Nick popped in. She's like, I'm making tacos for Nick. That's what you do when you have kids, I guess. Anyway, he's here with his girlfriend. Her name is B. That's a B for short. I forget what the actual her name is. We just all call her B, so it's fine. She's very nice. And they've been together for a bit. Carter's still here, and will be probably for a bit. She's got, she graduated with her degree in games engineering and design, and it's a full-blown degree, and now she's, building her portfolio and submitting to places like Ubisoft in Malaysia, and Epic in Canada, and blah, 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 blah. She's kind of all over the place, everywhere but here, so that's kind of lame, because I'd like her to hang around, but also I think there's probably a cool opportunity for her, and she should take whatever she desires. My guess is she'll end up making the jump to a medium to large size developer, kind of get some experience in one of those places. But I feel like ultimately her future lies in her own projects. I feel like she would do well in a big team environment for sure. but I'll bet, and we haven't talked a ton about this, so this is just me, this is a lot of conjecture on my part, but I just think she's a little like me. She'll work for the man while she does, and she'll be loyal, and she'll work hard, and she'll do all that. But I think at some point she's going to be like, I want to make my own game, and I want to do it with my artist or my programmer friend, and I want to do it with, you know, I want to do a small four-man project or whatever. I'm going to have a successful game on Steam and build a company of my own. I think that's where we're headed with her, if I were to guess. I don't know. It's interesting to watch all that happen, though. And I can't say I'm in any hurry for her to go, because we really like having her here. You know, you always hear about when your kids are 20, whatever. What is she now, 23? And you think, oh, you know, before the pandemic, she was living downtown in an apartment with a roommate and was going to school and working. And then the pandemic hit and we're like, she's locked down in this hot, awful apartment. She can't go anywhere or do anything. The reason she's living closer to her office is no longer a thing, and school. It's all happening remote. So she's like, well, this is just dumb. We told her, this is dumb. You should just move home, be here during the rest of this, graduate, and then you're good. Save some money. Put that rent money away, and you won't have to, you know, worry about it here and blah, blah, blah. So we did, and that's why she's here. But it was always her choice to, you know, what she wanted to do, and it never feels like a burden that she's here. So this concept or idea that she may not be here anymore is really bumming me out. Because it's different than just, I think, a regular parent-kid thing. We collaborate on things. We're super into the same stuff. You know, I don't know. It's just different. So it's going to be hard when that happens, but probably sooner than later, her future lies beyond my walls. You know, we'll still collaborate. We're working on a book. Have I told you guys that? I'm writing a children's book that she's illustrating. So this is the big test. She'll have no problem with it. Her art is already amazing. We've already done some concepts for it. The big question is whether I can write for crap. And we're about to find out. But I really like kids, and I feel like I communicate well with kids. So I feel like I've got a knack for the audience in conveying concepts, ideas, and stories and characters in that way. But I really have never done it before, so, you know. But whatever, that's what I do now. I do things I've never done before. Check them off my list. I did the card game. Checking that off my list. Those are shipping soon. Well, they're in production. We're waiting for production to tell us exactly when they're shipping. Kind of a pain in the ass, but whatever. It's the life we live. But same thing will go for the book. Like, it's just something I've always wanted to do, whether I drew it or she does or whatever, and just collaborating should be really fun in general, and really looking forward to putting that one together. And, yeah. Projects, man. That's what you do. Everything's a damn project. Other than that, what's going on that I can talk about here on the diary? I mean, it's called Diary of a Cartoonist. I should talk about the comics for a second. So Fred and Ken is going well, although getting the production done on the card game really screwed my schedule up, and I had to kind of spread the posts out a little bit, but all's going well there. And we're getting to a point where I can almost do like a small compilation version of that thing in a book form or something. I don't know. I have to think about it. But I'm really enjoying doing that work, and I don't know what it is about those characters that I love so much, but if you haven't read it, you can find it over at fredandcan.com and see if maybe it's for you, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you are into these days. I try to make things that people can be into, but, you know, you never know. You never know if you're really hitting the mark or not. You try. I was hanging out with a friend yesterday, came by the house, who probably is the closest thing I've ever had in this life to a physical best friend. meaning not an internet friend or, you know, someone I only know remotely or only mostly know that way, because I got a lot of those. But this is a guy back in, we met in 95. We'd only been married a couple of years, and Kim, and they had only been married a year, I think, and we met them, and we just started hanging out all the freaking time, like every minute we got. And this is a guy I sat and played the entirety of Resident Evil 1 with, together. We just sat and just made jokes and played that game. Did the same thing with Metal Gear Solid. We did it with RE2 and just like that era of PS1 sort of era of games. Just nonstop. Him at my house, me at his house. I say house, we were in these like apartment condo things across from each other. We was divided by a pool. Anyway, fast friends, never did anything without each other. We went on trips together, went to Vegas, San Francisco, you know, just kind of road trip type stuff all the time in the mid and late 90s. And by then, by 97, I had a second baby, so I was already a three-year-old and a baby by the time 97 rolled around. And then they had their first that same year, almost the same month, I think. They're almost the same age, Carter and their kid. Anyway, the long and the short of that story is I don't get to see them very often anymore. It feels like when our kids were teenagers, things just got harder to connect all the time, so we just sort of drifted, and we didn't always live close to each other after that. And for a while there, you know, he was sort of bouncing around, not sure what he wanted to do, and eventually locked into being a real estate agent, and that really took off for him. And did really well with it. And he's got his own company now, and it's doing really well. Anyway, he showed up yesterday, and he had just came by to say hi, and we just happened to be out walking around, and he showed up in his big brand new Ford. Oh, I forgot the name of the truck. Everybody likes him. Forgot the name. Really popular right now. Version of the Ford truck, short bed. Can't remember. Anyway. White with like black trim and huge wheels and all this stuff. Anyway, that doesn't matter, except the point is that in this truck he had an AR-15 in there, you know, the infamous AR-15 weapon, which is you know, much loved by gun enthusiasts, also unfortunately often used in horrible, horrific events where people are shot with guns. But He's not really part of the problem so much as he is. He just loves them. He just collects them. He's got a giant safe just full of them. I don't know, you know, he's just into them. And I'm not really a gun guy. It's not my jam at all. I've fired them before and gone to shooting ranges and all of that. But anyway, what was my whole point with that? My point is, so he opens up this little container in the front bed of the truck, and in there is this AR-15. And I had never actually held that rifle before, and on there he had a red dot sight thing. What do you call that? Red dot? Red? That doesn't sound right. Anyway, laser sight, and like flashlight attachments, and just, it was all fancy carbon, whatever, so it's light, and all the cool accessories and everything. And I don't know what that thing was worth, but that was probably like a, I don't know, $1,000 gun or something. And took it out of the car and was just, there's no ammo in it, but I'm just like sort of aiming down the sight, checking it out, holding it. He took a picture of me doing it. And I realized, what must that look like? Some neighbor somewhere has to see me out there with what looks like an assault rifle and next to a car, even though I think it's just semi-automatic. Right, I think they have to be unless you modify them. But that must have looked weird. What's Scott doing with a freaking gun? He's aiming down the sights. I was aiming it in the car, so I wasn't actually, you know, pointing toward any windows or anything. But and technically, I'm not licensed at all to hold his guns, but he is. So whatever. But the point is, for a hot minute there, I realized we could have had a scene. We could have had like, step away from the truck. Put your hands up where we can see him. Like, we could have had a moment. But we didn't. We put it back in and, you know, all was well. So that was an interesting experience. I didn't actually fire it, obviously. We're in the neighborhood here, but he was talking about how expensive rounds are these days. So if you go up and shoot at a range, you're paying upwards to $3 a bullet, per bullet, these days. And I was like, why is ammunition so expensive? Because seriously, two bullets in here is $6 already. Imagine, you know, a gun like that firing off 100 rounds. What is that? 100 times 3? That's $300? No. $3,000? In ammo? Is that right? I can't do the math. Anyway, I asked him why, and he said, well, back in the Obama years, everybody in the gun enthusiast world was 100% certain that they were going to have massive new restrictions put in place and that they were going to lose all their guns and their ammo and everything. And so people went crazy buying out everything, just bought everything out and stocked up. And even though none of that happened, like, I mean, I'm sorry, but if somebody shoots up a school full of 7-year-olds and kills a bunch of them, and we still don't have the will to do anything, I don't know if we ever will. So I don't know why they were so paranoid, except it was also a bit of a marketing ploy by the NRA at the time. He was admitting this. He's like telling me this. He's like, yeah, they really hyped up the scare of it so that it would drive sales. So now what you have is, you know, none of that scare came to fruition, as it often doesn't. And then everybody's overstocked on this stuff and has all the bullets in the world. And then the next administration comes around and nobody's worried about any of that stuff and nobody's buying. They've already got all they want. So you hear these stories about the NRA going out of business or, you know, having to declare bankruptcy and not getting enough dues and all that. A big part of it is without the freak out, without the false sense of hurry up and stock up before the government takes your stuff sort of feeling, things get real stagnant and they start losing money. So it's actually bad for them. Or they have lower revenues during pro-gun administrations. So now the ammo's just really expensive, and it's a shortage and demand thing again, like the housing market, like the car thing with the chip shortage, like all of it. People are paying way too much for stuff. I'd be curious if it ever reverses, like the housing market. We were talking about that because he's a real estate agent, and we were talking about how, like, you know, what would it take for the market to reset or to go back? And he's not sure it will. He thinks this might be permanent. So that's an awful lot of sudden inflation to not move again, you know. And that makes me really worry about my kids' chances of getting into any kind of home. Like, how are they going to do it? It's a real bummer how that's going. Ed Carter's just like, I'm never going to get a house, Dad. I'm like, well, you don't know that. And she's like, well, today there'd be zero chance. There used to be a way for you to get into a starter home, start small, build your credit, build your equity, move up, move to the next one, you know, keep kind of going, growing. But there's no entry point right now. And she's right. I mean, like, the cheapest house we can find anywhere is like $450,000. And a year and a half ago, those same houses were like $150,000. Like, obviously things have changed. And so if that's a permanent change, what do you tell that whole generation? Just rent till you're dead. And also, rent prices are also going up. Like, it's just unsustainable. I don't get it. Part of it is I'm naive to some of this and I don't understand exactly how it works. I don't know if anyone truly does, but also just the writing's on the wall. And if you're loaded, right, that's easy to say, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll do the $50,000 down plus the cosign plus whatever to get my kid into a house, and then they'll pay the payments, and then, you know, I mean, yeah, but there are people who can do that. But that doesn't solve the problem, not for the vast majority of people. That takes care of a small percentage. I mean, maybe that's why we're in trouble. Maybe that's why we're so divided right now. Maybe it's always been just economic or perceived economic divisions. So even the poorest among us who vote against their own best interests, they like what it sounds to be rich, and so they fight for that end of it, even though it hurts them. I don't know, man. This isn't even a... I don't know. I could give two shits about our political parties and how it works right now. That's even too many. I couldn't give one shit. Everybody's lost me. You've all lost me. I think that part of that is age. Part of it is just seeing the cycle and seeing it never... It's always been the same. So why am I... Why try? It sounds terrible, doesn't it? Why even try? I don't know. It's the simple things that resonate with me these days, like leave it better than you found it. Simple stuff, like they used to teach me when I was a kid. Oh, you found a campsite. You're going to camp there? Cool. When you leave, clean it up so good that it's actually better than when you got there. I like that principle. Apply it to lots of things. Public spaces, jobs you do. Your family, your relationships. Come in and be better than when you got in there, right? So there's one. Another one is stop caring what anyone's particular religion is or belief system is or lack of belief or origin or color or ethnic background or whatever. Forget about every one of those factors. And only judge others by the way they treat other people. That's it. My dad used to say that, and I believe in it more than ever. 100% of the time, what will matter to me, I don't care if you're Gandhi, I don't care if you're Jesus, I don't care if you're... I don't care who you are. Rich, poor, tall, short, I don't care. The only... measure that I have of you is how you treat other people. That's it. If you treat them kindly, with respect, generosity, mercy, forgiveness, that kind of stuff, then we're good. We can be friends. If you treat them poorly, then no. And I hope you figure your crap out because I don't have time. I don't have time. And so you want to get meta and go, well, Scott, what's the difference between you saying you don't have time for those who can't treat people well? Isn't that treating them not well? Look, I'm not going to get into the meta game here. To me, it's simple. If you're kind to other people and afford them the same respect and rights that you expect, then we're good. That's it. It's simple as that. It's not more complicated than that. And so those are just two examples, but the simple principle stuff is what's starting to resonate with me more and more as I get older. And maybe that's just a age thing. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I haven't talked to anyone older than me about, you know, where their head was at when they were 51, but, you know, the things I used to think were important, I don't think they're that important anymore. Like, all that matters to me are my kids and the well-being of people that I care about, and then by extension, people who I don't know, I care about them being okay. And, I mean, what else is there? Everything else is gravy that's positive, like, you know, getting the do whatever job you do and pay your bills and take your wife to dinner and, you know, all the whatever, all these basic things we just sort of have and expect. To me, they're secondary, but and they're important, but they're nothing. It's those basics that matter. I don't know. I'm just in the mood for that now. I'm not explaining it very well, but that's okay. I don't feel like maybe I even need to. It's more of an intuitive thing for me right now. I just kind of feel it. And doesn't mean it isn't hard sometimes, you know. It's easy to get jokey about stuff, especially, you know, somebody who's a public figure or a celebrity or something. It's easy to throw all kinds of shade without knowing too much of the situation, and I'm trying to be better at that. It's kind of hard. You know, you have somebody famous throw a fit for something that's stupid or whatever, and you, or at least you think it's stupid. It's just so easy to bandwagon and go after them for it, and I don't know enough about their situation to truly do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm at least I'm trying to remember that and trying to do better. I'm not perfect, but if you are, let me know how you're doing it. I'd love to know. I'd love your advice on how you've perfected this this method of human interaction. Well done is all I could say to you. Well freaking done. All right. I think that's going to do it. Just some musings here. And I know these are real far and few between, but I do enjoy talking to you guys. And we got a little mini trip coming up for the 4th. And maybe I'll record some of that. We get windy on here. I don't know. We'll see. Look at this. 10 seconds to 25 minutes total. Here we go. We're almost there. 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.